Get started. Okay, so last year we were discussing all the suffix lashonos that came up in the Gemara. And like, you know, our main theme was just don't mess with the recipe for Kiddushin, because otherwise you might not be married, you might, yes, be married. You know, very slight changes can really affect whether or not you're married. And then we kind of switched to the other side of things. Like, wait a second, what about, right, once we say, well, there's, you know, we need act, might need to like very clear, very objectively evaluated expressions and intent, right? And maybe we really use external benchmarks, right? For, right, Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. So we actually need you to say it explicitly and to say it clearly and to make do it in a way which makes it incontrovertible that that's what you meant. And once you sort of start messing around, that would ruin it. Maybe the opposite can also be true, right? Maybe if you do something or you say something, you know, which in terms of the words you said and the actions you did should mean that you are doing Kiddushin, so then maybe that, you know, should give us a Safek Kiddushin, even though you had no intent to do Kiddushin at all, right? Because maybe, right, we evaluate it based on the objective metrics and not necessarily about your intent. All right, so Tila asked, well, wait a second. All right, if someone gets down on one knee and pulls out a ring and says, you know, will you marry me? That sounds pretty much like the recipe for Kiddushin, right? So why isn't that a problem? Okay, so I found this actual case in a Beis Din in Ashkelon where that's exactly what came up. And they really dealt with it very seriously. They took it very seriously. And so I'm just going to walk through like the sort of like the main points that they went through in their psak din. But this is a real psak din from a real, you know, a real story that came to a real Beis Din in Ashkelon. So let's just walk through it and see what they did with it. But A, you see that they took it really seriously. And number two is, you know, it's fascinating because on the one hand, you know, we have these issues of, well, we need to measure things objectively. On the other hand, right, at some point, there are some things that we sort of feel like, well, wait, we really know what's going on here, right? So how do we, you know, how do we evaluate that and how do we apply that, you know, for real in like halacha l'maisa? So engagement rings. Okay. So first of all, the Beis Din there asked the following. He says, wait a second, right? We have the, you know, we have the guy, we have the girl. Why not just, so what happens, first of all, is that, right, the guy, you know, proposes to his girlfriend, you know, at the big party, say, you know, this big sign on the wall says, you know, Hatina Sili, will you marry me? He gives her a ring. And, you know, the classic, will you marry me? Give her a ring in front of a whole bunch of people. So why not just make her get a get? So, right, sounds like, oh, it'll just always be Machmir. So the Chazanish said, right, they said, you know, Chazanish, why don't you just, you know, have them do a get, right? Say shesish, right? We're very machmir on shesish. So Amar lo Chazanish, v'chi ein ze davar chamur be'einecha l'hachtim u'levayish nara bas Yisrael v'la'asosa ligrusha, right? It can be very, you know, traumatizing and stigmatizing for her to have to get a get, right? Just because they broke off an engagement, right? So it's just a very nice, you know, like counter perspective. On one hand, you're like, oh, it'll just be machmir. Let's just be careful. Make her have a get. And then end of the story, right? Chazan says, yeah, but on the other hand, right, you're being machmir, let's say, on Hilchos get, but you're not being machmir on, right, her kavod abrios. So I thought this was a nice starting point. And on the one hand, it's always, you know, easiest to be like, oh, it's just machmir, let's give a get, v'chulei. On the other hand, right, that's it, you know, takes a large psychological toll on this person. Another thing, you know, Rav Eliashiv's Beis Din pointed out, and based on the Beis Yosef, is that there's another problem, which is, you know, Mashhevi Mitura Smaram in Tov LaHachmir Pen Yitin HaMekadesh Katev Soveres Kedei LaAgna, right? Maybe if you make him give her a get, he'll use that as an opportunity, right, to get back at her for whatever, you know, I don't know, let's say if there's bad blood, then he could refuse to give a get, and once he decided, oh, it's Machmir, so now, right, she's feels that she needs this get, even though we're really just doing it for a chumrah. Right? And says the master, "Yemi kol makom she'inot tzricha get inosun laget l'ravcha demilsa shlo l'post l'menakuna." Hey, now she can't marry a kohen because of reacha get. And we shouldn't preach the hador shlo yidnu einehem b'benoy yisrael la'agnam, right? And because there are bad people out there, right, who will, you know, use this to settle scores or to cause trouble. So we really don't want to have to give a get unless we really have to. Right, so again, if there's a real chashash, then we need to be machmir, right? We need to be careful of it, isra yishish. But if we can avoid it, then we really need to do our best to avoid it.
Okay. Don't we give gets out of like chashash or just chumas? Does that affect her ability to marry a kohen then?
Yes. So in general, there's something called re'ach haget, which when they're up on, even once you have a get for like any reason, unless the get's like mamish, you know, there, you know, in extreme cases, well, I don't know, if someone who's not married to someone, you know, gives her a get on the street, obviously that's not going to post a lacuna. There are cases where it wouldn't, but in a lot of cases, even if it's done just l'chumra, so we generally say there's a din of re'ach haget that would be hosel her lacuna.
Doesn't that seem like a stronger reason? Like, not that these reasons are unimportant, but as opposed to that creates an actual different halakha chalut in her.
Yeah, so I think there's some cases where I think we would say that there, you know, it's so, you know, far gone that there isn't even a problem of re'ach haget, but nonetheless, like, you know, you still have these other issues, right? Where I think the biggest one, you know, the Chazon Ish is the best, because in the case of aguna or re'ach haget, so, you know, if it's really that that obvious that it's not really a problem, so then it wouldn't necessarily create re'ach haget or a kahuna problem or like an aguna problem. Because if he refuses to do it, so we'll say, okay, she doesn't need it, right? But the Chazon Ish's point, I think, is even more expansive, which is even in cases where that wouldn't really be an issue, and it's like, okay, like, you know, let's have them do it like stam, just, you know, I don't know, just to, like, make them really be, you know, feel bad that they weren't careful, or, you know, just to be sure, just in case, who knows, you know? So Chazon's point is also just, you know, still don't want to do that unless you actually need to, unless there's a real chashash. But yeah, but I think the kahuna point is a good point. It's like, wait a second, like, it's also a very big nafkamina, right? Okay, so unless he's already a grusha, I guess it also would also solve it. Yeah, Rachel.
In the case that the Beis Din is talking about, did they separate after the engagement?
Yeah, they didn't get married.
So that's where it's coming from, and not like the second. Okay.
Right, because otherwise it'd be fine, right? They suffered, got married, and they really got married, so then they're good to go, right? They ended up not getting married, and then the question is, oh, okay, wait a second, but didn't he give her a ring and say, you know, will you marry me? Okay, so the question is, what about umdana b'kiddush?
But I was thinking...
Yeah, go for it.
You know, I was just thinking that if they still got married after the engagement, I was thinking maybe it like lessened the second kiddushin or like the
meaning in cases where we have a suffix, what the Shulchan Aruch says to do is just get married again. Then, right, then they're not married. Yeah. Then, right, they're suffix married. They want to get married, so get vadi married. Solves our problem.
Zacha levitala potentially?
Yeah, but you know.
Scale of it, not a big issue.
Right, I think it would be less of an issue, especially in this sort of case where, like, pashtus is not, it's pretty clear that there's no kiddushin, right? But in terms of Yisrael Shaseish, we would be machmir, if, like, right? But since it's pretty clear that they didn't get married, so then, you know, I think it's probably good enough for you to be able to do the Brechas Harrison. Actually, interesting question, though, because there are shitos in the Rishonim who hold that if you get married by the Shliach, okay, if you get married Harrison separate from Nisuin, there are shitos in the Rishonim who say that you should do Brechas Harrison again at the Nisuin. So that would actually help Natan's question, because they, according to them, even if they were married the first time, you would still do the Brechas Harrison again. Shita of the Ravid. Maybe we'll do the Sigi of Brechas Harrison on that, actually, because it's very interesting. It's like a very weird, it's like a curveball Shita. So that's like less of an issue, because some Shitas just say, like, oh, like, you'd always do that, even if they're bad, they're married. Okay, so what about the Umdana, right? I mean, we all know that he didn't mean to marry her, he just meant to get engaged, right? So do we rely on Umdana and Kiddushin? All right, so the first thing we saw was, you know, Shulchan Aruch that we brought up in the end of the last sugya, or last year, really, right? Even though normally we know pretty much that they didn't mean to do it, right? Just hatsa'at nisuin, it's a proposal, right? But we know the Rama said, "Ein holchim b'inyan kiddushin achar umdana v'ochachos hamochichos shelo kivna l'shem kiddushin." Right? We don't just say, "Oh yeah, she, you know, it's pretty clear that she didn't mean to get married," right? You know, right? Kisser, she said, "Oh, you know, give me kiddushin," and then he gives her kiddushin. And then she, like, you know, she, like, throws it away, right? So you don't say. And she said, no, I thought it was all a joke. I was just, you know, messing with him. Afilu hachi hevi kiddushin, right, misafik, v'en holcha mini kiddushin acharam dinos. Now, you can't say, oh, we, you know, clearly didn't mean to do it, right? And he points out that the Beis Yosef, whenever he's dealing with cases of, like, kiddushe schok, right, where people, you know, the Cracker Jack wedding, where, it, you know, it's pretty clear that they're just joking around and being silly, right? So he says, you know, at the end of the day, he's only mekel b'tzirof misbar tamim. He doesn't say, oh, we know clearly they didn't mean it, right? Maybe he uses that as a sniff, as part of the argument, but he never relies on that independently, right? And if you look at the different rishon, the shuvos about these sorts of cases, there's always like, oh, and one of the edim was pasul, or, you know, there's only one aid, and, you know, it was... no one actually saw that there was a ring, or there's always a lot of other factors being brought in, and not just the fact that, oh, they're clearly seem to be joking. Okay.
What I didn't understand here is that she didn't even accept it when we talked about it last time, and she throws it off her lap.
So originally she said, marry me. Then he gave it to her, and then she threw it away, right?
Right.
So she accepted originally.
Marry me doesn't.
She goes to him. We'll get into that case. You know
before
what? We'll deal with that stuff too. So that is a good question. But I mean, the main point here is just we just can't say, oh, well, like clearly she meaning you're right. Where's the acceptance? The acceptance is she is the one who is basically matzia to him, right? The context is she says, you know, marry me. He says, okay, gives her, he says, rabbi kudashously, gives it to her, and then she throws it. Okay, so do we say, oh, well, since she threw it at the end, clearly when he gave it to her, she wasn't accepting it, right? She didn't mean to be mekabel when he gave it to her. Or do we say, no, right? Since she said, marry me, right? So, and then he gave it to her. So even though afterwards she threw it off, maybe she changed her mind in the middle, right?
Right, but about how her saying, marry me, isn't real kiddushin. So, like, that shouldn't really affect...
Yeah, but I'm saying in terms of her das, it clearly, right, she said, marry me, right? It's a pretty good metric of someone's das is if they say, marry me, I think, right? And then he gives her the ring, and then she throws it, right?
Right, so that's why it's always a question of das. Okay.
It could be, right, that, you know, she said it, she was joking, then he gave it to her, and then, you know, she tossed it because she's like, I don't want it. Or she meant it, right? And then she accepted, and then he gave it to her. And then after he gave it to her right away, she's like, wait, I don't want to be married to him. And then she tosses it. So we just don't know, right? So even though we can say, oh, yeah, but she tossed it right away. So probably it means the whole time she never meant to. Right? So we say, we don't start doing that sort of like, you know, well, she did this right afterwards. So then maybe it really means that, right? Now, we're going to see that there are some cases where we maybe can do that. Right. But the point is you can't just say, oh, let's just put on our thinking caps and sort of evaluate, you know, what she probably meant, what's probably going on in their heads. Right. We can't use that to get out of our problems. Right. At the end of the day, we need to follow more or less the objective evidence and not our evaluation of it. Right. We can't always say, oh, they probably meant. If we see she said, marry me, he gave her the ring, then she threw it away afterwards. Right. She still said she expressed intent to get married. He gave her the ring and did the Maisa Kiddushin. It's possible that she didn't mean to accept it. Right. Because afterwards she tossed it right away. But maybe. Right. Maybe she's changed her mind afterwards because we can't objectively. There's no way to know that. Right. And her objective actions until then. Right. Seem to imply that she's being Mikudeshes. We still have to be Choshesh for the Kiddushin. Right, so basically, we don't really follow umdinas when it comes to kiddushin. Okay. However, right, yesh livarer ha'im lida'atam lo nitan lomar klal umdina. Oshema hachashashu meumdeno she'in muvhakos bovad. Right? There are different types of evaluations. Right? There are times where I can say, oh, well, you said this or you did that. That means, right? Then, you know, it probably means that X, right? We can presume that that's probably what they meant, right? And then there's cases where we know what they meant, right? Cases where we're presuming, we can evaluate, we can not quite guess, better than a guess, but we can, you know, we can predict with a relatively high margin of error, with low margin of error, that this is what's going on, right? Well, this is what they mean. And there are cases where, you know, we know what it means, right? And maybe if it's something where we know what's going on, it's obvious, right? I think we'd say there are things which are obvious and there are things which are, you know, relatively reasonable, right? There are reasonable explanation, understanding of what's really going on, a reasonable evaluation, right? Or the reasonable evaluation, right? Or not the reasonable evaluation, but what's obvious. Maybe if something's really obvious, not just, right, the reasonable explanation, but the obvious explanation, right? Maybe that's good enough. Okay? And this is, right here, so the Maharam gives two different reasons why he thinks that you can't follow an umdana. Gabi Kiddushin, Mishum Chumra De'eshesesh, Lo Nismochal Umdan Daita, Lomar Lohaya Baliba Kach Vadai, right? Ishesesh is very chamor. It's a very, very significant and serious iser, right? And if you get it wrong, then they're mamzerim v'chule v'chule v'chule, right? So it's really, 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 you know, you're walking into a minefield. When you walk into a minefield, you can't say, oh, presumably, right, you know, if I just walk in a straight line, I won't bump into any mines. Or presumably, like, it looks like someone stepped here before, so it's probably safe, right? So if it's very chomer, it's very dangerous, halachically speaking. So you just can't rely, you know, on your umdandas. And he also says, leka umdandaita. You actually don't know what she's thinking. Why? It's not muchach. Why? Right? Maybe you think that it's not reasonable for her to want to marry him, but maybe she does. Right? You don't know that she doesn't want to marry him. You might be able to presume that she doesn't want to marry him because it doesn't seem reasonable to you, right? But to quote the trolls in Frozen, right? Love is a force that's powerful and strange. And I think that's a very big theme, actually, in, you know, in these sorts of sigyas in the Gemara, which is that it's very hard, you know, what seems reasonable to the rational person is not necessarily, you know, what seems what's accepted or what's you know, understood in affairs of the heart, right? When love, you know, and emotion and you know, and whatnot get involved, it's very, very hard for someone outside of that person's head to understand what they're thinking, you know, and why it makes sense to them. But love is a force that's powerful and strange. So just because we don't think it makes sense for her to want to marry him, it's right. That's an outside observation, but it's not necessarily one which is really compelling, you know, when you come down to the person who's actually getting married. I think that's very, very.
When I was learning with Jordy, who kind of hopes to come in the future, we were reading like Itta Beholda Hu Nichala. Some small portion of her does actually want to accept it, and then that's what we're leaning on. But
it's similar. So the phrase itself,
Yeah.
So first of all, that is true. That's an important factor as well, which is, right, if someone, you know, it's hard to also know, you know, how much, right, that's an interesting point. That's not that the phrase itself is a reference to, right, sometimes, you know, a woman wants to get married and she's willing to settle for someone who's, you know, below her level, she wants to get married, right? She's, I don't know, let's say, of, you know, aristocratic social class, right? Let's say he's, you know, he's less than she is, right? Sometimes she wants to get married. She wants to get married, right? It doesn't matter that he's not, you know, if you were, like, doing all the shidduch cheshbonos and you were the shadchan, you'd be like, oh, like, yeah, we can't set her up, right? But the general is, but it's a reference to this general idea that when it comes to ishos, it's very hard, you know, there's no like objective rules that people generally follow, right? When you're dealing with a, like business deal, so they're very, you could say, oh, well, wait a second, this doesn't make sense, right? If you're paying $500 for an object that on the market sells for 10, something's wrong, right? You can't do that when it comes to ishos. Right. And it's more than, you know, when it comes to karka, by the way, we have a rule that also that it's a little bit that you can't also make those same things because people want whatever they want. Right. If you want real estate in a certain place. So even though you're getting a tiny piece of land this big in Manhattan, it's going to cost you $1 million. Right. If you go anywhere else in the world, it's going to cost you, you know, 5 cents. So that's like one step over. When it comes to ishas, right, you're just in a whole different ballpark even. It's not even just like, oh, people have different, you know, different ways of evaluating. It's not even based on logic at the end of the day, right? Because people want companionship and people want to, you know, fall in love and people, right, have emotional reasons for getting married and emotional attachments to the person they're marrying or whatever, you know, complicated, you know, worldview that factors into their decision of who to marry and when to marry. So just, you can't really make an objective evaluation of what's reasonable when it comes to marriage. Yeah, which is what, very much what you're saying. The years of paying, which is another interesting point, which I think is also a factor, although here less, but sometimes people are torn, right? They want to get married to this person, but they have doubts. At the exact moment when, you know, when you're doing Kiddushin, maybe part of you really wants to, which I think is also a factor, right? You know, how much or how to find, it could be that we say, no, you actually need 100% das when you're being Mekadesh. That might save us from that. But yeah, these are all factors of, it just makes it very, very difficult to give it an objective evaluation.
Yeah, right, to so you. That's not...
You didn't have a question? Oh, they had a question, okay. Okay, so right, so basically, so these dayanim from Ashdod are trying to figure out. Okay, on the one hand, we don't just follow evaluation, but maybe there's this there's a level, right, of, you know, of conviction, of objective, you know, evaluation, which is going to make us able to say we know. It's not just we think, right, or it's pretty clear to us. Like we know 100% that this is what's going on. Maybe you'd be able to say, look, we objectively know, you know, what's going on in their head, what's going on here, right? So on the standard evaluation level is not going to work by Kiddushin, but maybe if you really hit a very high bar of like objective evaluation, maybe that's going to work. Okay, so the Aruch HaShulchan actually says something very interesting. Ubi Kiddushin, even where we know 100%, even if we know 100%, it still doesn't help you. Why? They're not at all like Dine Mamanis, right? Because what is Dine Mamanis? It's interaction between, right, two interested financial parties. And the entire interaction exists between the two of them. It has nothing to do with anyone else, right? V'lo ibri sahadi elo l'shakri, right? And the only reason we even have Edim is so that neither of them could lie about it later, right? But ultimately, dinim mamnis exists in the interaction between the two of them. Aval gitin the kiddushin afsha maisa nashat kohen, right? Ach bilti Edim in shum mamashos behamaisa. If you do kiddushin without Edim, then there's no ishas. They're not married, right? Even though they did it properly and they meant it. Mikivan shadavar toli rak be'edim in lehem liros rak hamaisa kasher hu v'lo l'asur acharei machshavos shabalev. Says kiddushin ishas is not just something between the two of them, right? It's something which also basically impacts, he's saying it's talui also on the edim, but it's, I mean, the idea is that ishus is something that also impacts on the whole community, right? You're becoming a part of the community. You're becoming a unit separate from the rest of the community. You're being oser each other to the, everyone else, right? Asra kulei alma kakdish. So it's not just something that's interacting between the two of them. And because of that, right? And it's because it's created in part klape chutz, right? It's something that's being done vis-a-vis the world and the community, right? You're getting married as members of the community, as being osir to the community, right? Kimash adavar tali rak be'idim in lahem liros rak ha'maisa kasher hu. So what's really koveya is your actions, right? Not what you mean, not your intent. Right? It's not who we are, but what we do that defines us when it comes to Kiddushin. What's koveya is the ri'yas of the edim. The event is koveya, not their intent. You need to have intent, right? But what really is koveya the ishos is the maisa ishos. You need to have das to do it. But if you have das to do the maisa ishos, what really is koveya is the act, right? The ef shalios can begin to mikidushin, right? When you're doing something vis-a-vis the community, let's say you register, you sign a marriage license, right? So the law cares about whether or not you follow the legal process. So if you were coerced to sign the marriage license, it would be invalid, right? But if you intentionally signed the marriage license, right, but you were doing it as a joke, right, and then you filed it with a judge, you'd still be married, right? Because what defines marriage is legally getting married and fulfilling, right, and doing the Maisa Kiddushin. So even though if you intended to do the Maisa, right, if you didn't intend to do the Maisa, if you were coerced, then you were coerced. But if you intended to do the Maisa, it just happens to be that the Maisa, right, you were doing intentionally for funsies, right? So now you are intentionally married for funsies, right? Okay, bad joke. You got married as a joke, but you still intended as a joke to get married, right? Because the action of getting married is not about you, the two of you having das, says Aruch Shulchan. It's something you're doing vis-a-vis the tzibor through the Eden. Yes, Tila.
So I think you've implied it, but if you don't mind being a little bit more explicit, what is the Aruch HaShulchan's understanding of the requirement for dat in Kiddushin, given everything that you've
heard? He said you need das, right? But the dat, ultimately what creates the Kiddushin is the Maisa Kiddushin. You need to have das to do Kiddushin, obviously, right? You need to have das to do the Maisa, you need to have consent, but
you're equating, if I'm not mistaken, you were equating dot to do kiddushin with dot to be married. And I don't know, yes. Like, I think it's not so pshat to say those are the same thing.
I think the point, the Aruch HaShulchan's point is that what matters is the dot to get, is to get married, not necessarily to be married. Right? Meaning, like the metaphor of the signing the marriage license, while you need to intend to get married, right? You need to intend to sign it. If someone forces you to sign it, you're not married. If someone forces you to get married, you're not married, right? But if you intentionally get married without the intent of being married, right? What's koveya, says the Aruch HaShulchan, is the act of getting married. Why? Because the process of getting married is something that you do, right, vis-a-vis society. Right, marriage is a social construct, right? If you don't have a society, you can't get married. Interesting. If you're stuck on a desert island, Pasha says you can't get married, right? Halachically, there are no edikim, right? Because marriage is essentially something you do vis-a-vis the tzibur, right? Same as, you know, you can't legally get married on an island because you can't go to a judge and sign a marriage license. So therefore what? The essence of the act of getting married, right, is the act of getting married, not the wanting to be married. In a certain sense, I think that fits nicely with the chakir between Erisin and Nisuin, wherein you could say Erisin is about the legally getting married, while Nisuin is about the being married, right? So you could say here, it's almost like maybe the architect will say, ah, they don't have das for nisuin, right? But if das for erisin, because erisin is about legally getting married. If you do that, and why, how do we define legally getting married? You could say it's about wanting to be married, right? And right, creating this connection between them. But I think the Aruch HaShulchan is saying that because it's something that you do vis-a-vis the tzibur, you, what you have to do is define it in terms that are visible to the tzibur. So if you intend to get married, right, to do marriage, just you don't want to be married, at the end of the day, right, what's koveya is that you vis-a-vis the, you know, klapei the tzibur got married, right? And you did it on purpose as a joke, right? But you intentionally got married as a joke. For, I think, you know, maybe a good example is like celebrity marriages, right? Two celebrities, they meet, right? You know, the tabloids say, oh, they're going out. They decide to get married. They get married. They throw a big wedding. A year later, they split, right? We all knew it was going to happen. They knew it was going to happen. Their publicists knew that, that it was going to happen. In fact, their publicists are, you know, are planning the, you know, how the divorce is going to go down at the wedding reception, right? It's not just inevitable. It's usually done. Oh no, I'm going to say it's usually done. It's sometimes done, you know, cynically. It's always done as like, you know, it's part of the publicity cycle is to like get married and then get divorced as a celebrity. So legally, though, right? So they are still married. Right, even though they got married, al das, that like they're going to get divorced in a year. But legally, they're still married as a farce, right? Or let's say someone who, you know, they get married for tax reasons, or they get married, you know, to like who knows what, right? In order to, you know, to emigrate somewhere, right? So if you get married so that you can get a green card, let's say. Bipashtus is right, you know, if you do all the legal steps right. You intentionally got married as a farce, right? But legally, it's still binding because you intentionally legally got married, right? As a farce. It's not a good thing to do, right? But since you're doing something that's legal vis-a-vis the society and the community, right? The metrics that decide whether or not you've done it are legal, right? And are about the maisa that you've done, not about the reason, the motivation behind it. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan is arguing, I think. Right. Okay. So according to that Aruch HaShulchan, right, it's very hard to imagine that we would ever care about an umdina. Right? Pashas. Right. Okay. But the Aruch HaShulchan himself points out that if the Edim know clearly that the Kiddushin are a farce, then maybe there's not good Kiddushin. Ah, right? Let's say you go to a judge with your marriage license and you say, we are getting, you know, we are not getting married, but we're going to fill out this form so that we can get a green card, but we actually have no intent of getting married whatsoever. Right? Is that good Kiddushin? Right? Let's say if the Edim know, right? The whole point is that what? The Edim are the Koveya, because it's something you're doing legally vis-a-vis the society. But let's say society knows that that it's a farce. Right? If society knows that it's a farce, so then it's not a problem. In a Hanami, we don't go after what their motivation is, right? We go after what you've done vis-a-vis society. But if society knows, or more importantly here, the Edim know that they don't mean it, so maybe you haven't done Kiddushin, because Kiddushin needs you to have meant it vis-a-vis society, right? Okay. Now, Rav Mashash, the Posek, contemporary Sephardi Posek in Israel, says... he thinks that you never, he says, like, objectively, you just never know what's going on, because you never know people, you know, what people really mean or what people really feel, and you can never actually evaluate it, and it's always a suffix. Okay? the Chasam Sofer says, no, of course there is umdinas. Of course you can make an umdina, right? It's just that you have a very, very high level. Why? Because love is a force that's powerful and strange, right? In order to overcome the powerful and strangeness factor, right, you need to have a very, very, very good level of proof or of objective, propensity for knowing what's going on, right? So as long as the umdina is more powerful than the, love is a force that's powerful and strange factor, right? Even though love is a force that's powerful and strange, at some point, right, you can tell, something's not serious, right? Even taking that into account. Okay. Again, the Chazon Ish also, like the Chasam Sofer, goes in the same direction. He says, look, love might be a force that's powerful and strange, right? But, it's not beyond the human experience, right? So there is a level at which we can still know what's going on, right? The lav klala kayil she'in umdina mo'el espeishes ish, the lav hushivu bezdin akach, el taina samaram shalom nismoch al achras adas lahat yereishes ish, lo marshish kan umdina dimuchach, umu ya'ariv libo lezos u'minayin lo shalot nisratzu. He says, how do you know, right? You never know what people really feel. Hu nisratzu she'in choshesh v'hi mushum tav l'meita. Aval, im be'emes hu umdina dimuchach vaday in kan kidushin. Ve'in chilok kidushin mishar mili. V'zeh lo kemo sharisi b'sefer echa. He says, right, so the Aruch HaShulchan says, it's this like objective idea that we don't care about what they're thinking, right? We care about what they've presented to society and to, right, to in their actions. And then you would need it to be not just an umdina, right? It can't just be that we evaluated it. It has to be something objective in what's going on that sets off the alarm bells. The Edom need to know that it's not true from their actions, not merely from their own evaluation. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, on one hand, you could possibly have a way to knock it out, but only if the actions themselves, right, give us over this knowledge because of the Edikiyam aspect. The Rav Mashash just says, nope, love is a force that's powerful and strange. It's a black box. You never have any idea what's going on. You never know what's going on in people's heads, and you just can never know, right? The Chasam Sofer and the Chasam Ish say, it's a higher level of difficulty, right, to really know, but it doesn't make it impossible. It just makes it difficult, right? It's more difficult to know what's going on in people's minds when it comes to affairs of the heart. But you can, right? It's possible, right? There are cases where you could figure it out. So if it's really compelling that we know that they didn't mean it, so then we know. Okay. Now, so far, so that's a question about, right? These are all questions of what? Of whether or not you can rely on an umdina, right? And how good the evaluation needs to be, right? Of what they meant. What if you had something objective, right? And this is the second part of their discussion. Okay, the first part of the discussion, right, basically leaves us with this. According to, let's say, the Aruch HaShulchan, what do we say about engagements? So that actually, I think, it could be okay, depending how you're doing it, as long as it's clear that it's an engagement party, and the Edom know that they're being invited to a engagement party, so maybe you could say that objectively from their action, we know that this is not Kiddushin because they said it's an engagement party, right? That could help. According to Rav Mashash, you're always in trouble because maybe, right, they suddenly are just overcome with so much love and affection at their engagement party that they decide to get married, right? He just says, love is a force that's powerful and strange. You never know. The Chasam Sofer and the Chazon Ish both say that you can evaluate their das. It's not just a question of their ma'isa. You can even evaluate their das as long as it's compelling enough, right? We all know that engagement parties are just engagement parties. No one means to get married, which is why they spend tons of money on a wedding right afterwards, right? So at the end of the day, there's no chashash of kiddushin, right? Okay. What about something objective, right? Let's say we're not just it's not just an umdana of what's going on in their heads. Let's say we can point to objective things that tell us what's going on. Right? So far we've been talking about, we know they didn't mean it. Why do we know that they didn't mean it? Because it's an engagement. Of course they didn't mean it. Like, everyone knows that that's not what he meant to do. Right? But what if there's something objective, right, that'll help us? So that actually helps us a lot, because there's a lot of stuff, a lot of makoros about that, particularly that relate to the question of sivlonot, okay, marriage gifts. So before, the Gemara says, has a discussion about whether we're choshish for sivlonot. Let's say a guy gives a girl who he's going to marry a gift, right? You know, for the purposes of their, you know, because they're engaged. So are we worried that they were meant as kiddushin? Right? Problem. So here's the thing. So one thing is that, oh, well, wait a second. If we know that the custom is to give these gifts before the marriage, so maybe we know that we're safe, it wasn't meant as kiddushin, right? Maybe the customs of a place, right, should allow us to know what they were meant to be. We're not just getting inside their head, right? We're using the customs of society to know what this action means. And then it's an objective metric, okay? So the Chachmei Provence, Rabbi Nassim Bar Moshe said, ordinarily, chol kiddushin shenasnu derech tzchok, the kalos rosh, the inam kiddushin. Afilu Amar Harei Mikudashasli. He thinks even if he says Harei Mikudashasli, and it's clearly being done as a joke, it's fine. Why? Shaisha ina svura lios mikudashas bekach. Afilu kibla hadavar v'shaska. V'chein kasevar ba'avrim bar David. Al kiddushin shenasu ba'arama derech schok. Uba ma'isul afana v'hiti arisha below get. Afal pisha Amar Harei la Harei Mikudashas. Why? Shein svura lios mikudashas bekach derech schok kiim lefnei kahal ve'eda. Wait a second, no one gets married, right, without a wedding, right? When do you get married? At a wedding, right? Not at a nice restaurant or on the top of a nice hill, you know, where your scavenger hunt engagement ended up leading or whatever, right? So smak is cholek. And he says, you know, that only works if what? If there's like a takana that you only can do kiddushin bekal ve'ida, right? And not in private. I know it's great though. Lemaisa, right? There's actually a halacha like that, bizman hazeh. And that's also the minhag, is that when do people get married? At the chuppah, right? At a wedding. And they do chuppah and erusin and nisuin together. So if they're not doing a chuppah right now, if they're not doing nisuin, then we also know that they're not doing erusin because, right, that's not what people do. And there's a takana that you shouldn't do that. Okay? So because of that, maybe that's an objective metric that allows us to know what people are doing. Okay? Number two, this is a fun one. I like this one because it's like, you know, it's a good like, oh, wedding rings, right? What type of rings are used at weddings? So there's a takana that we only use, right, a plain wedding ring, not a diamond ring. Right? Rachel was asking about this yesterday. So yes, they really bring it as a real snifflock, El. If you give a diamond ring at an engagement, right, it would go against the takana, the halacha to use that to be mekadesh, right? Because we're very makbid only to use a plain wedding band. So if they're dati, right, minastam makir mesaminu hamakoba betchum. That since we know that that's not what you use to get married with, and you're not supposed to halachically, so we can assume that they weren't planning to use it for kiddushin. Okay. Also, this is cool. The Shud Har Tzvi has this chiddush that, wait a second, it's only an umdna if what? If you're evaluating something, right, afterwards, something happens, and then you come and you start stroking your beard, and you're like, did they really mean it? Did they not mean it? right? If it's very clear when they're doing it, that that's what they're doing, and everyone there knows that that's what they're doing, right? Then it's not an umdina. We're not, evaluating what they meant, right? It's just clear that that's what's going on here. Rav Asher Weiss has a much more forceful description of that. Okay? We'll skip to that. Rav Asher Weiss says what? He says, wait a second. If you had a play, and in the play, right, the two actors, Romeo and Juliet, Romeo gets down on his knee and says, Juliet, will you marry me? Right? And then the play's over. So we say, maybe they're married, right? Because he's a boy and she was a girl and there was a rain. He said, Ariam Mekudashasli, right? He said it. There's 200 witnesses in the crowd, right? So he says, right? If there's actual suffix, then you have to evaluate it and say, maybe yes, maybe no. No one has a havamina, right? Meaning, if you come to something and the guy gets, and they do something, and then you're like, well, wait, did they mean it or did they not mean it? So then that's a problem of umdina. And then we have to figure out, can you rely on an umdina? If you go to a play and they do kiddushin, that's not a question of umdina, right? It's a play. If you have these two people, on birthright or something, I think is the case there, right? And he gives her a crackerjack ring, right? Because when they're being silly, there's no havamina that they had that they meant to kiddushin. Everyone there understood that they're just being silly, right? So it's not that there's a suffix and we're trying to resolve the suffix based on the umdina. There's just no suffix. Right? There's no necessity of an umdina. It's just clear what they're doing. Just like in a play, it's clear that it's a play. Right? It's not an evaluation that, they didn't really mean it because it's a play. It's a play. There was no action that led us to trying to figure out what the action meant. There was no action of kiddushin because there's no even latest asafe because it's a play. Right? And you start off with a play, you never get to, in the play, did he really mean to marry her? Right? Because it's a play. Right? Same thing here, right? It's an engagement party, not a wedding. Right? So if he met her on the street and they did this, and we were trying to figure out whether they're joking or not, so then we have an action of kiddushin, and we're trying to figure out whether they meant it. Here, there's no action of kiddushin. It's an engagement party. Right? Just like if it's a play, it's a play. There's no havamina, right, that anyone's talking about kiddushin here. Once you start the context of kiddushin, so then you have to figure out, did they mean it, did it not? Can we use umdinas? But there's no context of kiddushin, is what he's saying. Okay. Another option, which is very cool, that they brought up, is based on the Igros Moshe. He says, you don't need to prove to me that they didn't mean to get married. What you need to prove is that the Edim don't know or would have no way to know that they definitely meant to be married. And then there are no Edim. Because if the Edim can't testify that they meant to get married, there are no Edim, right? Ma'isa she'is choser behiras be'inyano. V'ha'edim einam yecholim lekavoa bevada'ut im hu haya kiddushin. Right? And this gets back to our last sugya, right? Of, all the funny lashonos and all the different, little additions into the kiddushin. Where the Igros Moshe thinks all those, right, might be problematic, because even if at the end of the day they meant to get married, and there are Edim that he gave her a ring, right, once they can't objectively say 100%, we know what's going on in his head, right, then there's no Edim. They're not good Edim anymore, right? Right? Af be'umdina she'ina anansadi, you don't need 100% proof. All you need is enough to say, right, that there are no Edim. As long as the Edim can't testify that they did Kiddushin and they meant Kiddushin, so then there's just no Kiddushin because there's no Edim, and because Kiddushin needs Edim. Right? I thought that was genius, that, once you take away the Edim, you're at an engagement party. Can any of the people there testify that they meant to get married? Right? No. It's not that the Edom, if you have a wedding, right? And then the Edom say, oh, well, you know, he gave it to her and he said X, Y, Z. But I don't know, maybe he didn't mean it. Right? So then maybe we can start talking about, oh, they're Edom. And then, you know, maybe we can have a Reisa or something like that. But here, there's no way for the Edom to say that they are Mekadesh, right? None of the people there could say, oh, yeah, of course, they, you know, he married her. You know, I don't know if he meant it, but he married her, right? And once the Edom can't testify to that, Mimela, there's just no Edom because there's no, and there's no Kedushin. Okay. This is interesting. Rav Kook wants to say the fact that afterwards they go and start, like, looking at halls proves that they never meant to get married. That's interesting. That's a little more further afield, in my opinion. Because you're relying on, right, later actions to prove what they meant to do earlier. Right? If you hold that the umdinas don't count, if you don't hold by umdinas, it's very hard to rely on that, because maybe he meant to marry her, right? But then they want, you know, as like kiddushin, and then they're going to do nisuin and the whole wedding. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to say, like, oh, maybe at that moment he meant kiddushin, you know, and then they're still going to do the whole shebang. It's hard to say that, you know, what you do later proves it, but Rav Kook thinks that that does work. Right? You know, hochichu sofa al tchilaso, the fact that later they go and start looking at halls means that they obviously don't think that they're already married. Okay. Just one two more last cool points is, one is, nor, you know, we have this rock and a hard place, because on one hand, why don't we just ask her what she meant, right? Problem is that we hold dvarim shel beivanim dvarim, right? So if she accepts it, right, then we probably shouldn't be able to just say, oh, well, you know, well, she says she didn't mean it, so even though she's accepted it or she said yes, you know, she didn't really mean it because she said she didn't really mean it, but, right, in front of a witness at Edim, she just said yes, right, or she accepted it. And normally say dvarim shel beivanim dvarim, so if your actions, right, say one thing, but you meant something else, right? Very often, and things that exist vis-a-vis the, you know, witnesses and the law, that usually is not going to help you, right? The Nod Bihuda, though, says that that only is true, right, when there's something objective, you know, that sort of proves that what she's saying is incorrect. Right? Or if we already have established that, you know, she's married by default. But here, we don't know. We have no reason to assume that she's married any more than she's not married. So as long as there's like some sort of lack of clarity in the Lashon Kiddushin, or let's say in the Ma'amad, the Nod Bihuda holds that she has ne'amanos to say that she didn't mean to get married. Okay? Now that's very controversial. It's a big machlok as achronim about whether or not, you know, let's say if you can just ask her, oh, what did you mean? Right? How much do we say dvarim shel beivanim dvarim? And since the objective maisim show one way, maybe it's like, you know, just not something that you could try to like passel afterwards. The Nod Bihuda thinks you could just ask her. And Eidachan and Bisurin, and she's just Neman to say, yeah, I didn't mean it. Okay. And then I thought it was very, very cool. He says, wait, in this particular case, he never actually said Harayat Mekudeshesli, right? He just had a big sign that says Hatina Sili. So what? The only way we know that he means to marry her is because of Asukim Bo Sawinyan. Asukim Bo Sawinyan, right? And the umdana that's what he means, right? Because that's the context. So what are we doing? We're trying to, this is very clever. This is like, now this is stepping away from the engagement question and to the very specific question that they were dealing with here. Is that he never actually said a harayat. So they say, ah, wait a second. You can't pull, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. How do we know that he meant to marry her? Because he pulled out a ring and there's a big sign that says, harayat, you know, will you marry me? Right? How do we know that he didn't mean to marry her? Because it's an engagement party and we know that that's not what he meant to do. Right? So you can't use an umdina to create the harayat mikudeshesli because of a sukkim bo sawinyan. And then also say that, oh, but we don't rely on umdinas, that he didn't mean to actually marry her and just meant to do to get engaged, right? Meaning in this particular case, the whole thing's based on Anum Dinah, because he never actually said Harayim Kudashusli when he gave her the ring. We're saying, oh, since it's a sukin, but also but in Yani Kudushin, it's as if, right, it's, you know, we can umdina that that's what he's doing. And we could connect it to, like, you know, the asukim bo so in you, right? So in the Hebrew, the phrase is, you know, you can't be lo nitan lechos habachevel b'shtei rashav. You can't hold the rope from both ends. Just, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't use umdinas and say that umdinas don't work at the same time. Okay. Maskana, vei paskana, which is fine. Doesn't need to get. But they also say, people should not do this. Do not get down, you know, don't get on one knee and say, will you marry me when you get engaged. You know, there are all sorts of, ideas that are go around of like, you know, oh, have, you know, don't do it. Don't give her the ring in front of witnesses. You give it to her before there's people around, give it to after. Definitely don't say, you know, Lashon Kiddushin. Maybe say, you know, I don't know, make it very clear, be very explicit that this is an engagement and you're going to be getting married later, stuff like that. I thought Tehillah's idea was the best, though, which is just have her be the one who proposes, and then, you know, then you have no chashash. So I thought that was the best maskana. And, okay, so now, I think next year, we're actually going to continue a little bit with this whole Sfeikos situation of like, how do we evaluate, how do we know, just because I think it's just very interesting and just very lamaisa, because it just all these crazy cases. And then